grace. Thank you for your presence in this training center. Thank you for every student and their family, the family that is represented here. Thank you for every minister that is represented here, not only here in Darrow, but also those that are watching on the internet and by Roku. Father, may your presence rest on all of us. May your presence, there's no distance in the spirit. The same spirit that is resting here is resting in every home and living room that is watching by internet and Roku. Father, we thank you for Apostle Thompson and the vision of this school. May you continue to empower him and grace him to lead us where we need to be led, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since the exams are still open, I'll wait till next week to go over the exams if we have any questions on the exam. They close tonight, so next time we come together, I will go over it if there's any questions. Tonight, as promised, first, welcome back. A happy New Year to everybody. I trust everybody had a wonderful Christmas and wonderful holidays. And so it's good to be back and get back in the swing of things. Tonight, we're going to be dealing with Chapter 9 in our book, Alliance of Honorable Men. Those who will join our alliance. So this Chapter 9, I graduated from LSU in accounting. And every curriculum, no matter what discipline you study, every curriculum, whether it's accounting, chemical engineering, mechanical engineering, pharmacy, you train to be a lawyer, you train to be a physicist, or whatever curriculum you're in, I didn't notice to ask our pastor's class. There's one particular class in every curriculum that's built to weed people out. And there's one class that's designed to weed people out. So in accounting, it was the first intermediate accounting. That class, if you got through that class, you were destined to be an accountant. I've heard some experience from certain engineers that certain classes that they took that, and you find out in that particular class, a lot of people dropped out from that class. Some had to take it two times, some had to take it three times, and so they dropped out. Well, I said I was going to say this. This particular chapter is a weed out chapter. Chapter 9 weeds out everybody who is not for God's agenda. Because this chapter 9 is going to be explained and given to prove some things that must be done in covenant if you want to succeed in covenant. Alright? So before I get into all these things, and once again, this class is going to challenge you. This class is going to challenge your religion. It's going to challenge the way you think about covenant. It's going to challenge the way you serve. Alright? So as we go through chapter 9, you'll see these things. Those who will join our alliance, there are seven principles that we have to go by to find out. When you connect to your leader, you have to go through these seven principles. If you want somebody to connect to you, they have to go through these seven principles. If these people, if a person don't want to go through these seven principles, you can pretty much write them off. Ain't no sense. I love you. You're good people. But it says I'm going to further destiny. Because when we get further in destiny, I can tell you now, you're going to give up. All right? God has given us the ability to serve those who come our way, whether they are partners in destiny or merely temporary connections. All right? Those who are added to us must be added to us by the law. So that means you can't choose your favorite preacher as your leader. You may enjoy the preaching, but you better make sure that God has told you this is who you're supposed to connect to. There are principles that help us distinguish those who are sent by God and discern those who came to join us for other agendas. We'll go through these seven principles. We're going to take two classes to go through these seven principles because they're very detailed. I'll go over the seven principles to read them off to you, and then we'll come back and take them one by one. Principle number one, you must be joined to a person. Number two, It came to seek us out. Number three, you must verbalize your commitment and loyalty. Number four, you must acknowledge the growth that is upon a person's life that you're connected to. And we're going to deal with that word grace in more depth when we get to that one. They came to join collectively and not as individuals only. In other words, when you join or you connect to somebody, you're not connecting for your individual gain or reason. You're joining or you're connecting because you want to help achieve that particular agenda. Watch this. They are concerned for national transformation, not just local, but national. It begins local, but it must expand to national. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? I hope you're hearing me on the internet. It starts off local, but it must expand to national. Number seven is familiar. Number seven is very familiar because we've seen this before. They came in the spirit of sacrifice. You seeing this? Back to number one. Principle number one. You must join to a person, not just to their giftings or their anointings. Number one is a clicker already. How many times have you heard somebody say, I want to act for their anointing? That can happen, but you must first access the person. See, an anointing cannot be practiced. Watch this. Let's define the anointing. The anointing is the burden moving, come out there, the burden moving, you're the strong power of God, right? Okay, so let's think about this now. Let's meditate on this for a moment. If the anointing, according to Isaiah, is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God, burden removing, yoke destroying power of God, that means that there's really no need for the anointing in heaven. Why? What is it? There's no good. Anointing stays in our land. The sad thing about it is sometimes a person leaves, a person don't want to be with the Lord, and nobody picks up the mantle. So the anointing is left dormant until God can find somebody faithful he can place it on. Are you seeing it? So, now, having said that, that means the anointing is ineffective without a person carrying it. Are you seeing this? So if I want to access somebody's anointing, because number one, God anointed that person for a reason. So if you're not concerned about the person's reason why they're anointed, then what business you have accessing the anointing? Is that making sense? So, the anointing, in my case, with my connection to Dr. Thompson, there is a particular reason why God anointed him in that fashion. So, for me to come and attach myself to him and not be concerned about what he's concerned about, that means I've already notified that I'm coming for myself. And God knows that, and God, so watch this. So, my characteristic does not line up with Dr. Thompson's characteristic. So, if that doesn't line up, then God wants to know, why should I anoint you like I anointed him? Because I anointed him for a particular reason. So, if I don't have a love for him, a concern for him, and what God has told him, then I'm blocking myself from receiving that anointing. See, that's why you get these people that come in, and it's cliche. I want to connect to this person because I want to access their anointing. So I don't. So, You can serve all day long into an anointing. If you're not concerned about that person, not what you can get from them. So that means we cannot be connected to their gifting. Watch this. The transfer never took place for Elisha until he became connected to Elijah in a spirit-begotten relationship. When Elijah was getting ready to get caught up in that whirlwind, and he did, Elisha cried out for Elijah. Go on to read it. He cried out for Elijah. He didn't want Elijah to leave. Because Elijah was concerned about Elijah. Not just how nervous he was. Matter of fact, if you go back and you start to read the beginning of the relationship of Elijah and Elisha, God spoke to Elijah and told him to pass by Elijah. And Elisha almost missed it. So when God puts you with somebody, or when you connect with somebody, you have got to make sure that it's God that's doing it. Because if not, it won't last. Now watch this. On the other hand, Gehazi loved the rewards and results of the anointing, rather than connecting accurately in the spirit with Elijah. Are you seeing it? So it called Gehazi to make some judgment calls that didn't quite work out the way he thought they were going to work out. Are you saying it? See, this is why, you know, in LTMA, you know, when we begin to talk to them, to these pastors, and we begin to work on number one, Founders Day, to Matriarchs Day. The reason why we do that is because, watch this. Listen to this very carefully. Nowhere can you find in the Bible God used anybody that was financially dependent on people. Nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. He used anybody that was financially dependent on people. So the reason why we talk about Founders Day and Matriarch Day and giving and sowing is because it puts ministers and leaders in an financial, independent, stable situation that they can say what thus says the Lord. And so therefore, they don't have to make decisions based on money. They can make it based on what the Spirit of God is saying. But that can only happen when we trust God and His system of sowing and reaping, and like this, we begin to become effective in that principle. Are you saying that? See, Moses had to be financially independent. He said, why you figure that? Let's prove it. Number one, Moses went back to Egypt, a place where he was wanted for murder. Had to go back and talk to his stepbrother, who was tired at the time, and tell his stepbrother, let my people go. Say, let my people go. So I was like, here, I have my bad terms with his brother. So he's getting them from him. Then on the other hand, when the plague started getting fire hot down hard, and he turned it up on the Israelites. So that got tough for them. And so they told Moses, you need to go back where you came from. So it's like, too, he ain't got nothing from nobody from either side. So he had a foreign land, doing what God's going to do, and ain't got no help from the left nor the right. So Moses had to be, are you saying this? Financially independent. Are you saying this? David. Financially independent. 1 Samuel 22. Those guys drawn themselves to David, and for long, all of them guys are giving away millions and even billions to build the house of God. Abraham told him, oh no. Y'all ain't give me nothing. I ain't taking the shoe lashes. I ain't taking nothing of y'all because y'all gonna say y'all made me.
Jesus, as soon as he was born, he was looking for him to give him something. Jesus went to pay his taxes. He was here. He was going to catch the first fish. So Jesus was financially independent so he can do what God told him to do. Are you saying this? Gehazi did not want to follow the principles of God, so therefore he tried to get it another way. So that means he had selfish motives when he came into the relationship. So he was never ever concerned about Elisha or what God had told Elisha to accomplish. Many are receiving the implication of leprosy. I love to read this statement. Are receiving the implication of leprosy instead of knowing the transfer of legacy. Why? Because why do you get that cancer? I watch it all over the country. Man, I want that anointing in your life. Let me show it to your life. Man, first of all, you don't know what kind of lifestyle Dr. Collins is living. You don't know if you're a homeowner. You don't know none of that. You just see what he got and you want what he got. You don't even know if he's doing it right. They're just concerned about what they can get from him. Now, when you begin to connect, the purpose of connection and trying to become in love with the person is you begin to see inside where God anointed that person the way he anointed them. Elijah began to see why God anointed Elijah like he did. And then Elijah turned around and said, "What do you want from me?" He gave Elijah a double. Are you kidding me? Watch this. Elijah was so much into Elijah's agenda that the first miracle he performed after he smoked that water crossed over, it said, "I know a man that poured water on Elijah's hand." They didn't even call him by name. They were looking for him because of his love for Elijah. Are you seeing it? The sons of the prophet did not want to connect with Elijah personally and study their lives to serve him, whereas Elijah did. Listen now, listen. Listen. I told y'all this is the weed out chapter. This is the weed out chapter. You know, people, I watch people in my life. If anybody questions my loyalty to who I'm connected to, and then say I ain't got to do all that, they cut off. No questions asked. They cut off. Because they're trying to hold me back from God going where God has called me to go. So I ain't got time to be dealing with somebody who, anytime God in my heart to do something, and ain't nobody else doing it, and it seems like I'm going overboard, I'm jumping overboard. And if anybody wants to jump, that's no problem, I can jump up the top. But I don't want nobody telling me I'm going too far. Because now I got to watch you. Does that make sense? The transfer of grace is from a person, and only, did y'all hear that? Let me read it this way. The transfer of the anointing is from a person. And only by accurate connecting with that person in covenant can the transfer be complete. Are you seeing this? So you cannot just, I need to kill it, take a child where people want to just, I want to throw it to the anointing because I want to connect to it. No, you got to find out who that person is. What they're trying to accomplish. How can I help them accomplish what God has called them to do? Instead of, I'm just hanging around so I can get what I can get. Second principle. They sought out
They weren't looking for the person they were connecting to. Go to 1 Chronicles, 12th chapter. First Chronicles, the 12th chapter, 16th verse. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to behold unto David. Are you seeing this? The sons of Benjamin, or the offspring of Benjamin and Judah, sought for David. In other words, the person you connected to ain't going out of their way for you. Great example. Elijah, God told Elijah to pass through this certain city. For Elijah. When Elijah got there, I'm paraphrasing now, when Elijah got there, Elijah started coming up with all these excuses where I just bought this, I just got this, I got these two. Elijah said that he said, what do I have to do with you? In other words, he was telling Elijah, I'm only coming here because God told me to come here. I ain't got time for no excuses. So either you're going to have, we're going to get to it, a spirit of sacrifice, get rid of whatever you got to get rid of, and come on. If you don't want to, no problem. Because watch this. We're going to sound arrogant. But it's not arrogant, it's just the truth. Because Elijah was anointed before he went to Elijah. And he was going to be anointed after he left Elijah. He's Elijah in the Bible. Are you seeing this? He was anointed before he went. David was anointed before he ever showed up. Because God had already put his hand on David. So either it's going to be them that join him, or God's going to find somebody else. Are you seeing this? So it must be a going after. It must be a pursuit. Are you seeing this? They made the effort to seek him out in the wilderness. They paid the price and risked their lives to look for him. Go to Luke the 7th chapter, 37th verse, watch this. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of anointing, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them away, wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, here it is. What's so crazy about this passage is you got people who are supposed to be religious. Stood there and watched this lady who recognized who Jesus was. And they missed the whole point. So she connected to Jesus. She thought Jesus. How about the Bible? See, it cost her something. She didn't go to Jesus. And just was easy to say, no, she took something that cost her something. Are you seeing this? In other words, she wanted to let Jesus know how much she, watch this now. She didn't go to Jesus, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch, let's read this here, watch this. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Notice what this woman did not do. She didn't come to Jesus, because Jesus is not about you, the flesh. She didn't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you hear everybody else, what can you do for me?
Are you still there? She came and she wanted to connect properly with Jesus. Because if you can ever connect properly, you can get whatever you connected to when you have what they have. See, it's not rocket science. It's just spirit science. In other words, it's hard for people to get out of the natural into the supernatural with this. If I want what a person has, then I need to connect it and find out who they are. And, because see, God ain't blessing ugly ways. God ain't blessing selfish motives. So there's a reason why that particular person is anointed like they are. It's a price they pay. So if you're not willing to pay that same price, are you seeing it? The woman with the issue of blood fell to him until the power flowed out from her, from Jesus to heal her. Watch this. The Lord is not always passing our way. He didn't pass the word is that he didn't pass our way. Matter of fact, see what he's supposed to be doing with Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. She wasn't supposed to be nowhere near Jesus. That means she had defied the law of the day. In other words, she had to ignore the look that people gave her when they saw. Then she had to ignore people trying to discourage her from going. She had to ignore anybody who was against what she was trying to get connected to. Does that make any sense? Because she wasn't supposed to be in the city. She's unclean. She's breaking the law. So I know on her way there, she caught some people with some ugly look. She caught some people that probably got the law of the land to get her. But she trusted her anyway. I'm good. When the Lord is not passing our way, then we ought to go where he is and touch him. Oh, my goodness. What the scripture that talks about seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, there's a pursuit that has to take place. See what Paul told him, follow me as I follow Christ. So now you people get to say, well, you follow that man, that woman too close. You follow him too close. No, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Watch this now. We talked about this earlier in class. We talked about this earlier in the year. We begin to talk about how, watch this now, how with God, connection to somebody, I just said it again, but I was talking about earlier, it has to be from him. That's the first thing that God is going to do when you're pursuing him, is connect you to somebody who is where God wants you to be. So Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So all the time, Christ is not going to be where you are. Christ is not going to be in your trouble. So you don't have to ignore your trouble and move to where he is. So she could have stayed outside the city and stayed dealing with that issue she had. But she decided to get up and say, I'm going to connect properly. How do you know she connected properly? Because they had a bunch of people around you touching him, but Jesus only knows when she touched him. She said, verses going out of me. The couple things are confused. They can be anything to you. All these people around you, and you going, listen, there are going to be a lot of people flocked to an anointing. But you have got to fight through the crowd to connect properly. There are a lot of people that flock to an anointing. Why? Because number one, they're coming to get what they can get. So that's how long they'll be in the vicinity they can't draw enough. But if you come with the right motive and the right agenda, and you come in because you love the person, and you're seeking them out, then whatever is on their life, come on yours. Does this make sense? Oh, I love this thing. We must learn to intercept the move of God in the lives of others. We must recognize when God is moving in somebody else's life, and instead of getting jealous about it, I mean, we're doing it now in this ministry. Dr. Thompson is seeing God move in the life of Joseph Smith and just read and read and read and promote and compliment the man. Tell him God if he's hearing from God. Does that take anything away from Dr. Thompson? No! That's the problem. That old, the culture of honor. We're not honoring each other. So we are on each other, just to not get forward to the body of Christ. We must learn to intercept the move of God in the lives of others. The son of my woman, go to 2 Kings 4th chapter. People want to control the anointing. They want to control the anointing. And the only way you could, now watch it now, is that people want to control the anointing. So the only way to control an anointing, because the anointing cannot exist in those realms without being attached to a person. So they want to control an anointing, what they're going to do? Control the person. Are you seeing this? And when people, the way they try to control it is they try to control it with money. They try to control it with money. Verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed his son. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us this king. Let us make a little chain by Savior on the wall. Let us set up picture him there, bread and table and stool in the candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall return, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into his chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi's servant, call the son of mine. When he called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been kept for us with all this. You see that? Read again. I don't be able to hear you. And he said unto him, meaning Elisha talking to Gehazi now, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this. What is to be done for thee? What came first? Listen to me. What came first? She cared for him. Is that not something? She cared for him. Think about that. She cared for him. Paul said it this way. Go to Philippians 4. Paul said it this way. And then we will come back there. Paul said it this way. Same thing to Elisha said, Paul said this way. Paul said, in Philippians 4, verse 19.
Paul said, but my God, satisfy all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul said, by, you see it? But my God. In other words, Paul said, because you Philippians were concerned about me and love me, I'm going to talk to God on my behalf because I got, watch this now, let's be real. I've got the ear of God more than some of you guys. So Paul said, but my God to supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Go back to the Canaanite woman, 2 Kings 4. We were in verse 13. Before, what is it to be done to thee? What is thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, good, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, he stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Now, wait a minute. Golly. We probably won't get past this. We'll close here. Listen. Now, when I come, you go for and read that story, boy, die. But notice, she never stopped crying for him. So Elijah turned around and made a purpose out of his way that time to come to her house to make sure she keeps. That's covenant. Man, that's covenant. That's covenant. This woman cared, and her husband cared so much about Elijah and what God had called them to do. So when tragedy hit their house, Elijah saw what he was doing and made a special trip to come deal with what they were dealing with. Because he realized that that family cared for him and not just what they can get out of it. Is that not powerful? Of those who join an organization with the attitude of no holds barred and no strings attached often stay to the end. Often stay to the end. Remember now, you can't go into a covenant or a covenant with somebody saying, okay, now, I'm going to do this if you do this. We got to go in and say, I'm going to do this regardless of what you do. Does that make sense? When that happens, when you go into a connection or a covenant with that attitude, God will honor you regardless of what the other person does because you were about covenant. Go to John 6th chapter. Verse 55. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then he said Jesus to the 12, will ye also go away? While some are here. He answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. See, God is not going to connect you to somebody if they're not able to speak the word of eternal life into your life. leprosy. God, he ain't going to do that. Because then, if he does that, he wasted your time and his. The Father wants us to connect directly and participate with Jesus. Watch this. When the tears were no longer attractive, when the persecution was in the background, and when others were leaving him and withdrawing, the personal, intimate life connections kept them following Jesus. The personal, intimate connections. Not the miracles he done, because all the time they didn't realize what was going on. I mean, in John the 6th chapter, the Bible says Jesus had just got through performing miracles, and then the multitude kept following him. So he told them to sit him down, he about to feed him. Now, Jesus had just done a miracle, so then he said, what are we going to do to feed all these people? So how did the disciples didn't really know what was going on? So it was the miracle that kept them connected to Jesus. It was their love for him. Are you seeing this? It's the key statement. We cannot connect to the external because covenant connection is of the heart. You need to underline that statement in your book. You need to underline that statement in your book. We cannot connect to the external as covenant connection is of the heart. As I said, this is a readout chapter. I'm taking my time and pausing because I want you to take a lot of this stuff in. I want you to understand what we're talking about. A lot of what we're talking about is the basis for reaching your destiny. If you don't get this straight, you won't reach your destiny because no person can reach their destiny by themselves. Jesus didn't even reach his destiny by himself. He needed the Jews to hate him to hang him on that cross. He could hang himself. Jesus' purpose was to come, live, be an example, die, all our sins, all our sickness and disease, all our poverty. Be judged so that we don't have to be judged anymore. Get up on and be resurrected from the dead by the Father, which proves that Jesus was good enough to be the sacrifice, to be the best sacrifice they could ever be, and getting up on the third day. It's proof, because no other sacrifice ever got up. He was the only sacrifice to be resurrected. So that proves that the sacrifice that was laid on the altar for God through Jesus Christ was the one that needed to be done, that forever covered everything. But he needed the 12 to stay behind to be witnesses. Are you seeing this? See, what good is it Jesus died, take the keys of the kingdom from Satan, present himself to the Father, clear all our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we become right with God, so there ain't nobody left behind to tell us that. So nobody reached destiny by themselves. They always will have covenant involved. So as we go, I'm talking, as we go through these seven principles, it's important that you digest these principles, digest them, dissect them, meditate on them. Why is meditation good? Why is meditation good? Because meditation begins to challenge your thoughts. It challenges your thoughts. When your thoughts are challenged, then your actions can change. If you weren't doing something right in this aspect of covenant, then when you meditate on it, the right way to do it, it'll begin changing, begin to take place. Because if your thoughts don't change, your actions ain't going to change. If your thoughts don't change, your actions ain't going to change. Really, if your thoughts don't change, your feelings ain't going to change. If your feelings don't change, then your actions ain't going to change. And if your actions don't change, then your results ain't going to change. Because it's your thoughts that tell your feelings how to feel. And your feelings give you the gumption to go and act. Are you seeing me? So this is why there must be a genuine love for the person and not the anointing. Because there will be some things that the anointing will ask you to do that will challenge what you think you ought to be doing. So if you don't love the person, and you can't love nobody until you get to know them. So when you know they ain't going to steer you the wrong way. So if they tell me something that's contrary to how I feel, that means I got to go back and meditate and change my way of thinking. It happens all the time to me. It happens all the time. You have to be able to, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You have to be able to understand. I ain't talking about clarity. You have to understand under, compound word, stand under. You don't understand something until you're willing to yield your thoughts to it. No matter what you try to learn, if you don't yield your current thought to the dominant, to that particular thought, you'll never understand that thought. Is that making sense? In other words, you have to take your thoughts and submit them until you learn. See, every time you think something, you think it. Every time you think something, you think you know it already. Or you think you know what to do. Until you pause, take your thoughts and submit it to a superior thought process. Understand, that's when clarity comes. Are you seeing this? We'll continue this next week. Let's stay in chapter 9. I think we have what? Four more to go. All right. We'll go over our exams next week. If you have any questions, email me. I'll be sure to go over it in class.